clear the deck here. This morning, I'm holding a very important document in my hand. And this is a marriage license from the state of Colorado. And it's obviously very important to me. It changed my life for the good. Okay, before some of you run to my wife. And June the 9th, we got the marriage license June the 9th. We were married on the 10th of 1983. And this is a official document. My wife said, don't lose it. I'm not sure what she's afraid of, but it's got my best man, my best friend James Mott, who was the best man, and Kelly Warner, who was my wife's best friend, and my signature, my wife's signature, Ed Nelson, who did this ceremony. It's all right here. And then it's got something very important on this document. In fact, it's interesting. Every Christian has something in common with this document. Now, I'll just cut you off the pass. It's not that you're married to Christ, okay? So that's not it. Okay. Any idea what this document has that is very important to the document? The seal. The seal. That makes it binding. It helps me to know that it's what? Authentic. Yeah, there's the word I'm looking for. It's authentic. And here's the amazing thing. Oh, by the way, parentheses. My goal, I thought I would finish our study of the Holy Spirit today. This is the seventh lesson. I thought seven lessons, that's the number of perfection, completeness. We got at least one more. I'm not sure what the number eight means. But today we're going to talk about what you see on this wedding license, the seal. The seal. And believer, if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you. You are sealed. And that means a lot of things. There are some important ramifications of that, and I'm going to get those to you here as we go along, and I've got to remember to keep that with me. All right. There are five times in the New Testament where it talks about the Christian being sealed. And I want to read all of those to start the lesson. That's kind of unusual. We don't usually do this. But I want you to get the scope of Scripture. Start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Good morning, Sheila. How are you today? Good, good. 2 Corinthians 1:22. In fact, I'll start in verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. And he says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Notice verse 22. Who hath also, what's the next word? Sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And then flip over to chapter 5 and verse 5. Same book. Now, the word sealed is not in this text, but it's the same idea, and we'll see that as we move along. 2 Corinthians 5:5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And then turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13. And it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were, what's the next word? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. And then one more, chapter 4 and verse 30 of Ephesians. Ephesians 4:30. It's Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right, so there are the passages. In our study, we've seen the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, in three ways: the indwelling, the baptism, and the filling. And then we've been looking at the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Again, very quickly, what is the Holy Spirit trying to do in your life? Make you like Christ. Make you like Christ. And he is doing that through five very specific ways. Let's see how we do here. Number one, to be like Christ, you've got to know him. So the first thing he does is how does, what's the first thing you got to know to be like Christ? Okay, you got to know what he's like, and we call that revelation. There it is. Bravo, bravo. Thank you. Revelation. He shows himself through revelation, and once you know who Christ is, you got to receive it, and that is salvation. And then he also showed himself through, or excuse me, I skipped a point. Excuse me. Revelation was the first thing. Incarnation, illumination, and I skipped one. Inspiration, thank you. It's a good thing I'm not the teacher. You'd think I could remember these things. Now, so he's doing all of that. He's working through revelation, salvation, sanctification. Last week we looked at provision, and I'm not going to take much time there because I've got a lot here to go over. And the fifth thing is glorification. All right? So I kind of got those two things confused. I'm sorry about that. Because really, the first thing, these five things he's doing, revelation, salvation, sanctification, that first thing was revelation. That's how he shows himself to us, right? And I got that all wrong, didn't I? It was really creation was the first one, wasn't it? Okay. So how many are totally confused at this point? I am. Let me raise my hand, okay? Okay, good. All right. So revelation, and he showed himself in revelation, creation, inspiration, incarnation, illumination. Okay? Got that? So he revealed himself to us. We get salvation, sanctification, provision, finally, glorification. And there are two things under that. The first is that we are sealed by the Spirit of God. Okay? Wow. Wasn't that easy. All right. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. That game must have affected me more than I thought it did, too. I don't know. Even recording it and fast-forwarding through some of it. I find in my old age, I just can't sit and watch a ball game anymore. It's terrible. Even recorded, you know. I fast-forward through all commercials. I fast-forward through foul shots. And yesterday, I fast-forwarded through 4 minutes of the game, too. I just, I don't know what it is. It's terrible. And they lost anyway, so I don't know. Maybe I need to start watching the whole game. I don't know. All right. When does the sealing, I want to look at some facts about the sealing, okay? So if you're taking notes, we've got the glorification. First thing is sealing, and then some facts about the sealing, okay? And then we'll look at the effects of it, all right? So what are some facts about the sealing? Number one, when does it happen? When do you get sealed, okay? Well, we find that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Look at the process there. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. What has got to happen before you can be saved? You got to hear, don't you? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear the word of God. And I want you to stop for a moment and think about when you got saved. Okay? For some of you, that's just been a few years. For others, it's been 40, 50 years. For some, 60, 70 years, maybe even 80 years. I don't know if we have anybody saved that long here. So that's a long time to remember, okay? But I want you to think about when you got saved and you heard the word of God. Now, when you heard the word of God, you learned some things, didn't you? You learned that you were a sinner. And you learned because of your sin, you had a debt to pay in a place called hell. And then you learned from the word of God. By the way, Joanne, good to have you back. Glad you're feeling better. Then is Joe sick now? Aha, way to share. Yeah, good. He deserved it, though. So we hear the word of God. We hear that we are sinners. We have a debt to pay. And then, of course, the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and we received that. And you got saved. Jerry, when did you get saved? Yeah, I really said Jerry, but he was struggling. So Gary, you got it. All right. Who else? Let's just pick on Gary's today. Gary, when did you get saved? 14 years old. Okay. I was saved almost 6 years old in October of 65. And I remember my mom explaining the gospel to me, and I received the gospel. And you know what happened? When you received the gospel, according to these verses, you got saved in verse 13 and 14. It said, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, did I know it? Did you know it? Probably not. But you got sealed. You received the Spirit of God. You were sealed the moment that you got saved. And remember, we've always talked about Romans 8 and 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So he says, look, when you got sealed the moment you got saved. Now, who did the sealing? Now, this is really important. Okay, who did the sealing? Now, when we went to the courthouse in Jefferson County in Colorado. She lived in Lakewood at the time, just outside of Denver. There was a court clerk. Let's see. Norman C. Allen. I owe a lot to Norman. He did the sealing, okay? But you know what? There's a lot of people who have been sealed. Didn't last. So this sealing is really important, isn't it? Now, we've already looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, so let me just kind of read that to you again in verse 22. It says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, now listen, who also hath sealed us. By the way, the word sealed is a passive word. It's not something you do. You don't seal yourself. Who seals you? Darren's got it. Say it out loud for me. God. God sealed you with the Holy Spirit. That's really important. Now, I grew up in southern Idaho. I know that doesn't matter to you that I was raised in the south, southern Idaho. I'm still a Yankee. I know that. I understand that. Okay. But we had a farming community, and we had all kinds of farmers in our church and dairymen, and we ate well. You know, they would kill a cow, they'd give us half a cow or half a pig. But we ate well. They'd bring us milk every week, whole milk. I was raised on whole milk. Maybe when my hair fell out, I'm not sure. But they had corn, they had beans. My favorite was picking Bing cherries. My dad always said if they weighed us before and after, we'd have to pay a whole lot more because I'd eat one, I'd put one in the bucket, I'd eat one, I'd put one in the bucket. But we also did beans, green beans. And we'd go out and we'd pick all the green beans, we'd bring them back, and we'd cut the ends off them. My dad made this box, a wood box about this big, and it had slots in it, and we'd lay all the beans in there, and he'd take the electric knife and brr, 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 they'd all be the same size. You see where I get it from? It's not my fault, really. And my mom would take over at that point, and she'd put them in the jars, and she would seal them, or at least she would put them in the pressure cooker and all that stuff and leave them there a while. And then she'd take them out and set them. And then, you know, we listened. There it is. And we listened. And if everything was just right, they would seal. Invariably, there was human error involved, and some would not seal. And by the way, what did you have to do with the ones that didn't seal? Eat them right then, because they would not be preserved. Ooh, let me take a lap. I tell you what, we'll get to that in a minute, okay? But if people are doing the sealing, we got trouble. Aren't you glad that the one who seals with the Holy Spirit is God? Now, I think I've got time. Flip back to Romans chapter 8, and we'll see this great application. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Now remember, who did the sealing? God, all right? All right, you're in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, Who can be against us? What's the answer? Nobody. Okay? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And what's the answer? Wow, that was interesting. Nobody. Look, if God save you, verse 34, who is it that condemneth? What's the answer? If you've received Christ, if you've been born again, if God does the sealing, who can condemn you? Nobody. Not even yourself. You've been sealed, folks. It's done. God did it. So, when did it happen? When you got saved. Who did it? God. Number three, the nature of the sealing. Now, I've read these verses. I want you to listen. I'm going to read them again. There is a word that's in all three verses. It's not the word of or the word the. Okay? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 20:22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Did you get it? What's the word? Yeah, and it's not earnest T, okay? It is earnest, the earnest. Now, what's an earnest? A down payment? I was just speaking to Bob and Charlotte's daughter, and I met her fiance, Luke, and she's wearing something. It's an engagement ring. Same idea, a promise of what's going to occur. A down payment. By the way, did you know as a Christian you've got an engagement ring too? Yeah, because you're going to get married someday to Christ. It's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit is the engagement ring, the down payment. I don't know how long ago, a couple years ago, my wife and I, we had a van, and we were spending more money on the van than a car payment each month, you know, and we still couldn't trust it. We were to that point, and I really wanted to get an SUV. Real men drive SUVs. Of course, my wife drives it all the time. I'm sure they, but we went down to my friend Ed Johnson at the Ford dealership. And said, hey, Ed, here's what I'm looking for. And he said, well, I don't have anything like that. Here's what I got. And we drove him. We weren't too happy. And a couple days later, he called me. He said, hey, we just had a 2012 Highlander come in, low mileage. And he said, this would be a great car for you. And so we had saved some money. We went in, and we test drove it, and it was great. And I said, what will you give me for my old van? And he gave me, we got it all worked out. And we'd saved $5,000. And we put down $5,000 as down payment. And they gave us the car, and we drove it off. And that was it. How many of you believe that story? No, because before we left with the vehicle, we had to go into the finance officer's office. And we had to sign. And you see, what they were saying was, that $5,000 was a nice down payment. And we're expecting more of the same every month. And eventually, hopefully before it dies, we'll own it. Hopefully. And this is really a picture of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the down payment of our inheritance. It's a guarantee of what's to come. We got a little bit of it. We're going to get all of it someday. It's an earnest. It's a down payment. By the way, it's interesting, the purpose of the seal. Why does God seal you? I don't know if you caught it in Ephesians 1:14. Listen to the verse again. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Why did God seal you? Did you hear the last few words of the verse? Unto the praise of your glory. Now, if we'd done the sealing, guess what? We get to heaven. Well, I made it. Yeah, I lived a good life. I sealed myself, and I hung in there, and I persevered to the end, and I made it, and look at me. Yes, sir. Not one person is going to say that when they get to heaven. Not one. You read Revelation, and the saints singing in heaven, not one of them is saying, glory to me, I am the best as you can see. I should be a poet. That was pretty good. Not one of them. What are they doing in heaven? Glory, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the... Not a single person says, worthy is me. Worthy... Nuh-uh. You see, God did all the work. He did the sealing. He did it for His glory. For His glory. So, some facts about the sealing. When did it happen? At salvation. Who did it? God did it. What is it like? The earnest is the down payment of what is to come. And why did He do it? What's the purpose? For His glory. Okay, so there's the facts. Now, real quickly, let's talk about the effects. The effects of the sealing. Okay? Are you with me so far? Mike, you with me? Both mics? Okay. I looked at that mic, and this mic said yes, so we'll take it. We're having a little communication issues here. We had some here, we had some here. That's all right. All right. Number one, and I've already mentioned this, this Holy Spirit is a seal of authenticity. Several illustrations in the Old Testament. There was a nice lady named Jezebel. Okay, and her husband was Ahab, and Ahab was very sad because his neighbor had a vineyard and he wanted it. Poor, poor Ahab, the king of Israel. But he was so sad. And so Jezebel said, I'll take care of that. And she sent a letter out to all the people that were around was it? Naboth, thank you, and said, okay, you all get together, and we're going to take this guy down so I can get that vineyard. And it's interesting, when she sent the letter out, she did something very important to it. She sealed it. She took that scroll, and she put some wax on it, and she took the king's ring and she stamped it with a seal to show that it was authentic. So when all the people in the kingdom got it, they said, oh, this is authentic. This is from King Ahab. Same thing happened with Esther, by the way. We could go through the same deal. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians 9:2, Paul says that the converts were a seal of his apostleship. That's interesting. They were saying, no, Paul's not a real apostle. He's a fake. He's a fraud. We're the real thing. And he said, no. These believers are the seal. They show that my apostleship is authentic. So if you are sealed by the Spirit of God, it proves that you are really a child of God. Let me ask you a question. Are there people in the world who say they are Christians and are not? Meet them all the time. There's a parable about that, by the way, in the Word of God, where God's going to divide them in His time. What's that parable called? Yeah, the sower of the tares. And He said, they look just like the wheat. They just look like it. If you go try to tear them out, you're going to get some of the wrong thing. Don't do it. So how do you know if you're authentic? How do you know if you're a real believer? Oh, you got to see. Spirit of God. If you got the seal, you're the real thing. You're the real thing. By the way, how do you know if you got the Spirit? Well, you speak in tongues, you roll around the ground, you bark like a dog, howl like a wolf. No. How do you know if you have the Spirit of God? If you have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. If the Spirit of God is working your heart to change you, to make you like the Spirit of God, like the Lord Jesus Christ, and produce the fruit of the Spirit, you know that you've got the Spirit of God. Okay? So it shows that you're authentic. Number two, the seal shows ownership. Shows ownership. Now, I don't know if they do this anymore, but there was a day when they would take the logs that they had cut down in the forest and to transport them, the easy way to do it would be in on the water, and they'd float them down the river. I lived in California, in Fortuna, California, by on the Eel River, and they did much of that there. And the people would come in, they would buy the logs, and they would have a hammer seal. And they would take that seal, and they would hit that log, and it would put their seal on the log showing that they owned that log. Then they'd take all those logs, they'd take them, put them in the river, take them to the mill, and they'd take them out, and they could say, ah, these logs belong to this guy, these logs belong to this guy. There was a seal. Now, we kind of do the same thing with cattle. What do we call that? Branding. And they do that a lot out west. I thought they did it here, but they don't. I talked to David Martin, one of our local farmers, cattlemen, and he said, no. Here's what we do now. We put it on their ear. Carrie, you probably do this too. And they put numbers on the ear, on the inside of the ear. They've got a certain little deal that they can do that with. And that cow will have that number associated with them the rest of their life. And he said, in fact, it's interesting, he said, if I buy a cow that doesn't have papers, I can look at that number, and I can find out the history of that cow, where it was born, what it was sold for, how much it weighed, all that stuff. A permanent record. I thought, well, that's interesting. Now look, if you're a child of God, you have been sealed, and that shows you're authentic, but it also shows ownership. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, who owns you? Can you give me a verse to support that? There you go. What? And I like Paul what he said. He didn't probably say what. He said, what? Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that you're the, like, let's quote it right here, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? That you have of God, that you're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Wow. When I make decisions today, you know what I need to make them based on? I don't belong. I don't own myself. I don't own this. And I don't own this. Wow, look at all that. They're all ones. I carry a lot of ones that makes me look really wealthy. If I had one of those clips, you know, and roll, I'd have like 50 ones, you know. I don't own any of that. I have been bought with the price. There was a day the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the slave market of sin. And he saw me standing there. These chairs are not made for this. I'm going to try it anyway. And he saw me standing there on the block, the slave block. You know what he did? Jesus bought me. He paid for me with his own blood. He redeemed me. And today, I don't belong to Gary Singh. And neither do you. You belong to God. And the seal of the Holy Spirit of God is a mark of ownership. If you have the Spirit, you're authentic. Okay? None of the frauds have the Spirit of God. None of the fakes have the Spirit of God. None of the hypocrites have the Spirit of God. Only authentic believers. So it shows you're authentic. Number two, shows ownership. And number three, and finally, it shows a seal of security. Security. Now, there's a couple instances in the Bible. Daniel, can you think about something in Daniel's life where something was sealed? I can see the wheels turning, smoke's rising. There we go. That's the one I'm looking for. Now, there are several there. But remember, he was thrown in the lion's den, and what did the king do? Sealed it. No one can go in, no one can go out. It's secure, it's done. There's one like that, of course, in the life of Christ or the death of Christ. And they came to the ruler and they said, "Look, they're going to steal the body." And so he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll fix that." And what did he do? He sealed the tomb, made it secure, made it so no one could get in and get out. No one could touch it. It's secure. In Revelation 7, there were 144,000 evangelists, and they are sealed so that no one can touch them or hurt them. Are you ready? Sit up. Boy, I hope you're listening. This is good stuff. I tell you what, if you're a child of God, you are secure because you've been sealed. You've been sealed. You are secure. You're in the hand of Christ. And in John 10, 28 and 29, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than me, has given them. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You say, "Well, I can take the seal off." No, you can't. You didn't put it on. God put it on. God sealed you. You're secure. You're secure, folks. He's going to watch over. Aren't you glad? There are people who say, "Well, you know, brother, you receive Christ and you just got to hang on." Well, hallelujah. If I'm doing the hanging, I'm in trouble. Aren't you glad it's God who does the hanging on, not us? Hallelujah, folks. If you've got the Spirit of God, you're sealed. You are secure. Oh, this is good. And look what's going to happen. Turn over to Ephesians 1. I know we've been there once, but I want you to see this. We're about done. You've persevered to the end. You will be saved. Come on, here we go. Ephesians 1:14. This is good. It says in end of verse 13, "Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of," what's the next word? Promise. So if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got promise of something that's coming. And look what it is, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Oh. So he's saying you've received the seal, but you've not been totally redeemed. What does that mean? When you got redeemed, when you got saved, you were delivered from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. It's done. It's been paid. You were also delivered from the power of sin. Believers don't have to sin. We sin because we choose to. We don't have to. But you are not delivered from the presence of sin. And you are not delivered from this vile body, the fleshly, sinful desires that you have. But I got good news for you. You know what's got? You're sealed. You are secure. And you are going to be kept until you are completely redeemed. Completely. It's going to happen because you're sealed. This is the promise. He said, you're going to be sealed until the redemption of the purchased possession. You're already paid for. You're already bought. But your complete redemption will not occur until you get to heaven. But boy, when you get there, it's going to be great. Because you know what? You got the down payment, but you don't have the full inheritance yet. Boy, you're going to get it. What in the world is the full inheritance must be like? Well, you got the Spirit of God, and that's great. You're living as a Christian. That's great. Hey, someday you're going to receive all that God has. Wow. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. But I know it's going to happen. You know how? Because if you're a believer, you're sealed. You're sealed. And nobody can break the seal. Not even you. Not even you. You say, "Well, I know this guy, and he came forward in church, and he got saved, and he lived right, and then 6 months later, he was back out in the world. He must have lost it." No, he never had it. Because if he'd gotten sealed, he'd still be sealed. You're secure in Christ. You are, if you've been sealed, look, if you've got, it's amazing. And we're going to talk about this next week, okay? But if you are born into the family of God, God doesn't kick anybody out. Now, we do in life. Bad kid, don't like you, leave. You're out of here, you know. But God doesn't. And folks, I want to remind you, if you're saved, you have been sealed by the Spirit of God. And because of that, you know you're authentic. And by the way, don't you need to know that? Are there times you wonder? There are times I wonder. I know there's times you wonder about me. You know? But hallelujah, if you've got the Spirit of God working in you to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you're authentic. You're authentic. You got it. And you're owned by God. And finally, hallelujah. I tell you, hold my baby while I take a couple laps. I'm just excited about the fact that I am secure in Christ because I've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And I tell you what else I'm excited about. We've got some of it now, but we're going to get it all then. Wow. Wow. So believer, our last point of the five is glorification. We've covered one point. You're sealed. There's one more. You want? I won't do that to you. It's good. We'll get to it next time, all right? Lord, we do thank you for these great truths. And Lord, what a thought to know that we've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And Lord, because the Spirit of God is working in my heart, I know that my salvation is real, that I'm a true believer. And Lord, I know that you own me. And I know that I'm secure in Christ. Wow. Praise God. And Lord, for all eternity, we're going to be trophies of grace. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful salvation. Thank you for the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Now, Lord, help us to live controlled, filled this week by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.